How many of you like Father's Day? Not a whole lot of interest. Just be honest. I like Father's Day. I enjoy being a father, for the most part. There are challenges. But there's many blessings, wouldn't you agree? Those of you that are fathers. Now, if you're wondering if this is a Father's Day message today, sort of. But if you're not a father, don't check it out, okay? Don't check out. The title of the message actually is A Message for All Ages. And when we get to the text, you'll understand why. This is the first Father's Day that my dad is spending in heaven. And I know some of you are in those same shoes. Yeah, we miss him a lot. But we don't wish him back. And I thought that This thought brought a lot of comfort to me. In heaven, it's always Father's Day, isn't it? Now, you might wonder if there's days up in heaven, and I'm not going to argue that. The Jehovah Father God is celebrated all the time in heaven. If you don't believe it, listen to this. Revelation 7:15. Therefore, are they around the throne of God? That's the Father. They're having Father's Day, and they're serving him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne will dwell among them. That sounds like all the time Father's Day to me. We don't want to miss it. All right, for text, I invite you to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14, and I invite you to stand for the text. Try to memorize these few verses. We'll see how it goes. 1 John 2, verse 12 through 14, and when we're done with that, we'll pray then. But before we pray, I want all the men then to together read verse 13. And again, remember the title of the message, A Message for All Ages. And you can kind of figure that out as we go here. Verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And now the men, and we all together read verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this portion of Scripture here, this text from 1 John 2. Thank you for the instructions that have been given us here in these short verses. Just help us this morning as we consider them and these truths that you would teach them to us through your word and through your Holy Spirit, and give us grace to live out what you've instructed us here for all of us this morning. Guide us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You The Apostle John is writing this epistle, and I believe John was one of those men that loved to read. I'm not sure about that, but he loved to write. And so I think if he loved to write, he would have loved to read. He loves to write. Repeatedly in John's epistles, he uses the word write. I write unto you. I counted 19 times the word write, written, or wrote in the epistles of John, give or take. And in St. John, as he wraps up the Gospel of John, this is what he writes. There are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, everyone said the whole world couldn't contain enough books of what all could be written. So John was, he loved to write. And this morning we have written instructions for every age, for every group of people, for every gender of people, for every race of people, if you please. We better add that in this time we're in. This message is for everyone, okay? I encourage you this morning, as we've just discussed this thing of writing, to get out your pen and paper and make some written notes as we go through the message this morning. Hopefully there'll be something noteworthy for you to write down. I know sometimes us preachers are the fault that it's hard for you to take notes. We'll try and be clear this morning as much as we can. The outline is simple. I have four categories of instructions that Paul writes about. Now, at first glance, it looks like there's only three, but I'll explain that. I think there's actually four categories, and we won't take them in order, but the four categories are all Christians, number one, in verse 12, little children. That's the first category. The second category is fathers, and then the third one is young men, and the fourth one is little children, and they're all found in verse 12 and 13. All Christians, fathers, young men, little children. All Christians, verse 12, little children. Now, this word little children is different in verse 12 than the one that's used in verse 13. The one that's used in verse 12 is the same one that's used in verse 1 of chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you. This word can mean an infant, but it also means dear children. And there's different translations that put it that way. Dear children. It's an endearing term that John uses at least seven times in this epistle. And I think he gets it from Jesus. When he wrote the Gospel of John, he quotes Jesus, those words in letter, and Jesus says, little children. And I think John kind of picked up on that. Dear children, the first category of instructions is for God's dear children. Are you a child of God this morning? Let's see your hands. God's children. You are dear children. You're precious children. It's an endearing term. And what are the instructions? Your sins are forgiven. All of them. How does that affect you? Have we lost the wonder of having our sins forgiven? Or does it still send chills down our back? We are forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus. He's wiped away our sins. The Bible tells us he chooses to remember the sins that are forgiven no more. He chooses to not remember them. He also chooses to cast them into the depths of the sea. He also chooses to remove them as far as what? East is from west. Have you ever wondered why he didn't say north and south? Because there's a north pole and a south pole. The east and west, there's no end. He's removed them as far they don't even exist in his mind anymore. It tells us, dear children, our sins have been forgiven. And that's awesome. For his name's sake, it's because of him. But it's also for him. Often, we take this and focus on what forgiveness means to us. It means a lot, doesn't it? Absolutely. Have you ever wondered what forgiven people mean to God? Isn't that what's in God's heart? That, in one little nutshell, forgiving people is what God is all about. He planned the whole universe, all of creation, all of mankind. It's all summed up in having people forgiven and being in fellowship with him. My dear children, our sins are forgiven. So the first instructions are for dear children, be cleansed. Be cleansed. That's number one. Dear children, be cleansed. Now the second category, and we're going to start from the younger to the older as we look at this text and this instructions. We're going to start with now the little children, and then the young men, and then the fathers. The little children, in verse 13, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Now, this term, little children, is a more specific term. It means an half-grown boy or girl. Now, we're not going to put a number to that, okay? We'll leave that, okay? Little children, all right? I see some here, okay? They're here. You have known the Father. I think John is writing to remind us that God loves the children. He wants a relationship with the little children. He cares about little children. Now, we believe that infants and young children are safe in Jesus till they come to the age of understanding and the age of accountability. And this age, again, it can vary. I'm not going to put a number to that age. This age can vary. But the instruction for little children is, you can know the Father. You can have a relationship with God. The instructions are, be converted. Be converted. I invite you this morning, as children, to come to Jesus and to give him your heart and life. Children, you will need to know God on a personal level. It will not be enough for you to have Christian parents who love God and take you to a church that loves God and knows God. This is a choice that you must make personally. Jesus calls this process being born again in John chapter 3. And it's so simple that even children can understand, at least in part, this plan of salvation. And yet, it's the greatest miracle ever. Amen? Children, be converted. Tell God but you are a sinner. Ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to come into your heart and give you a new heart. And ask him to live in your new heart. And ask him to help you live in obedience to his word and to his will for your life. This morning, little children, or big children for that matter, if you've never asked God into your heart, please don't delay. Talk to your parents or to a trusted friend to help you today as the Spirit calls you. Be converted. Thirdly, young men, verse 13 and 14. Instructions are, ye have overcome the wicked one. Who are the young men? I see some smiles. I thought it would be interesting to just ask the young men to stand and see who would stand. We're all young men, aren't we? The Greek word actually here gives a little direction. It tells us, young men, someone want to guess? It gives an age, actually. Someone want to guess that age? You're scared. 40. 40 and under. Can you raise your hand if you're 40 and under on this side? A lot of young men here. Young men, what is he telling the young men? He's telling us, and us older ones, he's telling us, be conquerors. You have overcome the wicked one. Be conquerors. The word overcome here in our text means to prevail, to subdue, to get the victory, or conqueror. Now, young men and ladies, don't check out. You're included in these instructions. Young people, 40 and under, 90 and under, 95 and under. Wouldn't you agree we're facing a lot of temptations from the wicked one? The wicked one is intensely intent on getting you to fall. The battle is real. The enemy is real. I don't want to scare you, but listen to these words from Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows he hath but a short time. Wouldn't you agree that the wicked one is unleashing his wrath today? He's doing it in many ways and on many fronts. I'm not going to elaborate just a whole lot on that. Maybe just give you one front that I think he's being very successful in. That is your moral purity. This wicked one has been fairly successful in removing the shame of a promiscuous lifestyle. Our society has come to be very comfortable with divorce and remarriage. In our world today, it's really not a big issue. This past week, twice, I was boldly confronted with someone who was divorced and remarried, and they were kind of blatant about it. Many in our society today are no longer ashamed to admit, maybe even proud of, to be married to someone of the same gender. Having an affair in today's society is no longer rare. Pornography is commonplace. While these things may not be as shameful in our society as they used to be, they're still just as painful and sinful as ever. Young people, the instructions are, be an overcomer. Be a conqueror. And if you notice how he writes this, he writes it like you've already done that. All of these instructions are given like you've already accomplished that. And I want to encourage you men here this morning. I know you are victorious in a lot of areas. Yes, we fall. We're human. We do that. But you can be a conqueror. You are a conqueror. And every time you win one battle, it strengthens you. You become even stronger. And that's how you overcome. Verse 14 tells us, because you are strong. Not in your own strength, but in the power of God, you have strength. And every time you win, you become stronger. It tells you also, you're to overcome because you're abiding in God's word. That's where you get your strength to be a conqueror. How many of you want to be a conqueror this week? Live in victory. And you over here too. Amen. So for dear children, be cleansed. Young men, or little children, be converted. Young men, be a conqueror. And now to the fathers. And this is really the heart of the message. This message to the fathers is repeated from verse 13 and 14. It's almost exactly the same. Ye have known him that is from the beginning. Who are the fathers? Maybe a better question would be, where are the fathers? Any thoughts? Who are the fathers? He's addressing older Christians. Who are older Christians? Who are older people? Often we like to think that older is someone that is older than we are. There's quite a number of older fathers here this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. There's a lot of us. I'm including myself. I'm over 40. Many of you have walked with the Lord for a good many years. You have known the Father. It calls him the one that is from the beginning. You have known this eternal Father for a long time. But there's some realities we may as well face. The youthful energy is waning. The sun is setting over life here. And unless the Lord returns before this, in the next, I'm going to say 20 years, be a lot of trips up the hill behind the church house. Death is an inescapable reality. You know, there's many in our world that live in denial of that fact. In fact, there's a lot of people who will go to great lengths to try to defy that truth. Here's something I read. Some countries have even tried to embrace the denial of death nationally. In the square of Beijing, China, the middle of this huge public square, I think it's 109 acres, there's an enormous building where Mao Zedong, the famous leader of the People's Republic of China, resides. Thousands of people come to see Mao in his home each day. They stand in long lines to catch a glimpse, bow in reverence as they approach, and bring gifts to show their appreciation for what he has done. Every morning, Mao, like so many in Beijing, ride an elevator up to work, and at night he descends to his home under the square. But there's one small problem. Mao has been dead since 1976. Mao's body lies in an elaborate glass coffin and is transferred each morning by elevator from a safe vault underground up to his mausoleum, where a steady flow of visitors and worshipers can see him. Many Chinese believe some supernatural force is preserving his body and maintaining its natural appearance. However, in recent years, the cost of maintaining this museum has caused concern, and Chinese scholars are asking some good questions. Why should a nation that openly proclaims there's nothing beyond death pay so much money each year pretending Mao's spirit lives on? Some of the locals quietly complain. While many still worship Mao, others talk in undertones and rumor that his body is decaying rapidly. Recently, the gossip goes, his left ear fell off and had to be glued back on. Others say the cadaver has decayed so completely, the government has replaced it with a wax mummy. But others do believe that Chairman Mao lives on. We know better than that, don't we? But do we live like it? We all have an appointment with death. Now, that isn't what the instructions are about this morning, but it leads us up to the instructions. The question is, for us older fathers, how do we want to live out this last leg of our journey here? And this doesn't have to be just for the older fathers. In case you're thinking you can sort of skip the next part, you better listen, because it won't take you long to get where we are at now. 30, 40 years doesn't take long. Any witness to that? Amen. What do you want to do with the time you have left here? Maybe there's some ideas from you. Maybe a better question What does God want you to do with the rest of your life here? Any response? I know I didn't give you a lot of time to think about that. Maybe you can share some of your aspirations later on as you think about them. I want to encourage us, notice again, us as fathers, as older fathers, with three principles on how to close out our life here. These principles have come to me by a number of different ways, by the text, by a book I recently read on Going Till You're Gone. Again, Gary Miller wrote that. So by a message I listened to, and by just some personal observations and experiences. The three that I'd like to just give for your consideration this morning are, number one, stay connected. Secondly, see some of your writing, so I'll give you time. Secondly, stay constructive. And the third one, stay committed. Stay connected, stay constructive, and stay committed. We'll just talk about these for a moment. The first one is in our text. Stay connected. Verse 13. Ye have known him that is from the beginning. Ye have known him. In this King James, it uses the past tense, but many translations put the know in the present tense. Ye know the Father. I don't know if it makes a lot of difference. But you have had, he's writing that you've had this connection with God. You've experienced this connection. Don't disconnect. Stay connected. Don't lose out on your relationship with God as you get older. I don't know if you're going to agree with all this next part, but I think you will. There are spiritual challenges involved in getting older. There are limitations involved in getting older. And I'm going to suggest that physical limitations can hinder spiritual vitality. But there's hope. Instead of allowing those limitations to get between you and God and pushing you away from God, allow those limitations to push you towards God. That makes sense. So it's easy for us to allow those things to get between us and put distance between us and God. So stay connected to God, to the vine. He's your source of strength. He's your source of grace. Now, not only stay connected to God, stay connected to God's people. Instead of isolating ourselves, surround yourself with God's people. We need one another to see us through these last miles of the way. We need each other and we need God. So, don't check out, check in, right? Stay connected to God, to family, and to church. Secondly, stay constructive. What does it mean to be constructive? What does that word mean? To build something. That's exactly right. To build up, it means to serve a useful purpose. How many of you want to be useful in God's kingdom? All right. We're on the same page with that. We want to be useful. Stay constructive, building others up. Now, I know that in this category of fathers, there's a variety of places we're at. Some of us fathers, are going still at almost full speed. Some of us are fairly healthy and, I'm going to say, kind of able. For others in this father category, the strength is leaving rapidly. The description in Ecclesiastes 12 is become a reality. And you can look at that some other time. Just one nugget from there. It says that even a grasshopper becomes a burden. Some of you know what that's like. But I want to remind us this morning that wherever we are, on this last miles of the way, God still has a purpose for you. Do you believe that? You can still serve a useful purpose. Now, I know it won't look the same for everyone. In fact, it may not look like anything that you want. Get this next part. God is not done with you until you see his face. Amen. Now, for those that are consider themselves still fairly active, how does staying constructive look like for us? How can we serve out a useful purpose in God's kingdom? How can we build up? Ecclesiastes 3:3 tells us that there's a time to break down and a time to build up. Lately, if you've been half awake, you'd agree that there's been a lot of breaking down going on across the world, across our nation, in Washington, and sadly even in churches and homes. I'd like to call us this morning to build up and not tear down. You know, it takes little thought and effort to tear down. Carelessness and thoughtfulness are characteristics of demolition. Building up takes more thought and effort. Need to speed it up here. Let me just give you one key. And I know this is way too general. But let me give you one key that I believe helps us stay constructive and building up. And that is simply that we focus on others. If you look at the text, what follows, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, and on and on. The world would like us, as we get older, to focus on ourselves and think we've laid up things for us to enjoy. Take it easy, rest. Enjoy the rest of your life. The key to staying constructive is to not follow that, but to focus on others. That's what serving a useful purpose is all about. Building up others is not about ourselves. Wherefore, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. The word edify is to be a house builder. There you go, to construct or confirm. So focus your energies, your resources, your talents to building up others locally and globally. You know, as people get older, I tend to get more set in my ways and more self-focused. I'm not going to ask for amens on that one. Starting today, I'll encourage us. Build others up with kind words. Your attitude, even a smile works. Maybe you're thinking, what I'm doing is just not very significant. My building efforts are simply so obscure and unseen, they're barely worthwhile. There's not much glamour in washing dishes and diapers. There's not much glory in going to work Monday through Friday. Recently, I heard a story of the building of a huge cathedral. I remember it was in the making for over a century. One day, a passerby walked by and watched a craftsman meticulously carving a bird on a beam that went into the roof of the building. This observer, Spock couldn't believe it, he asked the craftsman, why are you doing that? Why are you spending so much time on something that will be covered up and not even seen? Without looking up from his work, the craftsman replied, I'm doing it for God. Stay constructive. I focus on others, even if it seems unnoticed. We're doing it for God. Stay connected, stay constructive. And number three, and lastly, is stay committed. Now, the words committed or faithful are not in our text, but the word abide is. I found at least six times in this chapter some form of the word abide. Look at verse 28. And now, little children, again that term, little children, abide in him. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, and ye shall also continue in his son. Be committed. Or a better word would be faithful, but it didn't start with a C. Be faithful. Fathers, those older ones, as we think about closing up shop here, one of the most important words of encouragement is be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to your vows to the church. Be faithful to your relationship with God's people. Be faithful in your family relationships. If you're married, be faithful to your vows to your spouse. Be faithful in your relationships with your children. Be faithful in your business relationships. Be faithful in your neighborhood relationships. Be faithful. Be committed. Be faithful in business. Be faithful in your assets. Be faithful in how you direct them to be distributed when you're gone. Be a faithful steward of your time, your talents, and your resources. The Bible tells us that he that is faithful to the end will receive the crown of glory. As we wrap this up, instructions to the fathers, stay connected, stay constructive, stay committed. I thought of a few more. I'll just run them past you. We won't elaborate on them. Stay cheerful. Stay compassionate. Stay confident. Stay contrite. Stay caring. Stay calm. Stay constant. Stay charitable. Stay civil. Stay cooperative. And stay complete. In summary, he's written to the dear children, be cleansed, be clean, claim your forgiveness. I write to the small children, be converted, enter a relationship with God. I write to the young men, be conquerors, live in victory. And I write to the fathers, stay connected, constructive, and committed. And all of us, may we be faithful till the journey here ends, and we'll be on the other side. And when the lid is closed on our life here, may all of us hear those words from the Father, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou the joy of the Lord. Let's kneel to pray.